2CC Richard Pernow Podcast.
Luke Smith, financial planner at Envision Financial. Are we going to make money today? Can we make money?
Oh, mate, Luke, anything's warmer than the weather.
Yeah, well, mate, it's bleak. It's like London.
Yes, it's
London.
Yes.
And if you
no
have a financial... Oh, God, it was bleak there when I was there. You can give him a call if you've got a financial question, 6255-1206. This little issue that we're about to talk to today is quite a common one, and I guess it's so simple that you kind of overlook which way you got to go. And we're talking about either a fixed or a variable loan.
Exactly.
Now, does it depend on the amount of money you borrow?
No, look, it's really about saying, how can I, like most things, there's always a choice, and it's about understanding how to use your options to get the most out of what you're about to do. And generally, as we've talked about this borrowing series over the last couple of weeks, how you structure your loan is really, really important, because I think there are a couple of key things people need to consider. And I think the general assumption that I'll go to the default option being potentially variable may or may not be good, depending on the environment at the time you take the loan out.
Now, there's a difference between getting a loan for a holiday or a car and getting a loan for a block of flats, isn't there?
Yeah, correct.
A house.
That's right. And today, I guess, I've sort of made the general assumption that if we're talking about borrowing for investment or buying a property or your new family home, these are some of the key things that people should think about to make sure that they understand their options and potentially the implications.
Now, can you go to a lending institution, get the money, and you're only told you can have it only one way? Can you bargain on the cost of the money?
Well, potentially yes, and this is where over the last couple of weeks we've sort of talked about get some help. You know what I mean? If you've got somebody on your side like a good mortgage broker, and I've named a few over the last couple of weeks, get some help, because they can leverage relationships and they can make sure that they get the right loan for your situation, because not all loans are the same, and the criteria and the benefits and some of the structures that we've talked about in previous weeks, such as redraw accounts, offset accounts, etc., all tie into potentially your interest cost, the term of the loan, how it's structured, and obviously then the impact is your ongoing repayments.
And Luke, does the term or the length of the loan, the length of the time you are given by that lending institution to pay it back, does that also underpin whether you should have fixed or variable?
Not so much. I think it can in a way, because obviously shorter duration, there's a greater likelihood of a higher ongoing payment. I think the important thing to try and understand, as we've said in most weeks, is why.
Mm.
Because there's nothing wrong with variable and there's nothing wrong with fixed. However, if you can maximise the use of these things, they can be done for different reasons. So in a low interest rate environment, you might say, well, I'm quite happy to have a variable loan because I think rates are going to fall. And if we jump back a few years when, you know, interest rates were at 7 or 8, a variable loan was good because you got to benefit from a weakening economy and you can reduce your payments. Now, in a rising interest rate environment, people could maybe start to think, well, okay, a rate's going to go up or down.
Yeah.
And you could probably make a fair assumption that there's a greater likelihood of them going up over time than going down, given they're at record lows.
Okay. 1.5 at the minute. It's been like that way for about 22 or 23 months, Luke. That's what the Reserve Bank sells the money at, right?
Well, that's the cash rate.
Right.
So if the bank, that's their risk-free rate of return. That's
right.
Their cash rate. So when they look at saying, we're going to borrow money, obviously they put a margin on that.
Yep.
And generally speaking, at the moment, we've seen interest-only loans go up in cost, and that's because the regulators of the banks have then really been under a bit of pressure to say, well, we've got a huge proportion of the population borrowing on an interest-only basis where they're not actually paying down the loan. And in an environment economically where we have really high property prices and very low cash rates, there's the potential for a wobble to have a significant impact.
Yeah.
So over the last 12 to 18 months, we've seen principal and interest loans fall, and in a way the regulator's created a tipping point, and he's, if you think about a seesaw, he's lifted up the interest only costs and then let people slide down to principal and interest.
Yeah.
So they've got some comfort in knowing that the debts are being paid back.
When I borrow money, when any of us, Luke Smith, borrow money, we want to get rid of it as quick as we possibly can.
Correct.
Don't we?
Correct.
So does that mean we go for a higher rate?
Well, no, you obviously want the lowest interest rate you can get, because that's the factor that's going to impact the interest that you incur over the life of the loan.
All right, but they reckon, and you can say yes or no to this, that if even if you put $20 extra a week on that payment for the loan, you can pay it off quicker.
Oh, look, 100%. And in previous episodes, we've talked about the use of offset accounts. Yes. And that is one of the really, really strong benefits of getting the right structure. Because if you can save and you can hold your money in there, and let's say you then lived off a credit card and had as much money of your free cash flow sitting in that offset account, people need to remember that interest is calculated daily. A payment could be taken weekly, fortnightly, or monthly. So the more you've got offsetting that interest cost, if we've got a $500,000 loan and $10,000 in the offset account, the bank actually says, well, we'll work out the interest on $490. And if you've got a bit more in there, it's $480, $470, $460. So making sure you've got the sharpest rate possible is one of the key things that people need to be aware of.
Yeah.
And getting the leverage and using a good broker to do that, or coming in to see somebody like me, we can put you in touch with somebody because they're part of our network. And they can go in and say, listen, given your occupation and how you would be viewed, which is what we spoke about last week, how the lender views you, you can then say, well, this bank would be better, or this third-party lender would be better, or this institution would be better to get you the best outcome. Because I'm yet to meet anybody from the bank that offers you the best rate off the bat without leveraging, bartering, tendering. And, you know, generally people come into me and say, well, I've threatened to leave, and now they've come to the party. Get a good broker, get your loan right, get your structure right, and just understand whether you go variable or fixed, because the implications are very, very different.
Let's unpack it. Fixed versus variable. Break it down. What's fixed?
So a fixed rate is where you take a loan out at the start and you say, I agree to pay this interest rate for a fixed period of time.
That could be 25 years.
Well, potentially. Generally, it's only maximum 5 years.
5 years,
and then it moves to a variable rate, or you then go and try and either renegotiate or go to the open market
What's the advantage of a fixed?
Well, the advantage of a fixed rate is you have clarity. So you know, okay, we're in a rising interest rate environment, and your household budget could be X. And if you wanted to be able to say, well, I need to know for the next 1, 2, 3, 5 years that is my payment, that is a way of ensuring that you can manage your cash flow and budget, even in an interest rate environment that may be staggered over time.
Okay. But so, you can still add to it if you want to.
Well, this is where people need to be mindful, right? So if you take a fixed loan, generally speaking, you can throw potentially an extra $10,000 a year, but then after that you can't make any additional payments. So that's one of the things to consider when thinking about a structure, whereas a variable loan is the interest rate at the time. And obviously, if the RBA or the lenders themselves start to up their rates, which is what we've seen over the last sort of couple of months, we've seen the banks up their rates, then obviously you pay the interest rate that's associated with your loan at the time.
Well, that seems a bit of a touch and go to me in that sort of instance, because all of a sudden the interest rate might go up to 5% or something.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be an incremental thing. Yeah. I think if rates jump too quickly, obviously, we'll stall the economy and people will really struggle given the proportion of household debt that's being carried out there at the moment. So a variable loan is good because you can take advantage of a low interest rate environment. However, why not think about a little bit of each? Have part that's fixed so you have security.
What's the part that gets fixed?
Well, let's say you had a $500,000 mortgage and you turn around and said, okay, I think over the next 5 years we could save $200,000 into that mortgage. Obviously, then you could say, well, give me $300,000 variable and have the balance fixed. So you have part that's secured if rates go up, but you also then have the ability to save into an offset account and utilise good cash flow and good budgeting to pay that loan down as fast as possible without penalty or charges.
Okay, can you throw extra into a variable?
Yeah, you can swing for the fence. Like. Okay. And that's where we tie back in the offset account and the use of a good savings and budgeting program.
Yeah, all right, there's a lot of things to consider. It may sound easy, but fixed or variable, financial planner at Envision Financial, Luke Smith. You can contact him now if you'd like to, 6055 1206, or the office in Townsend Street, upstairs in Phillip at 44 to 52. You know, I keep coming back to patting you on the back on this. Look, get advice. You're 21 years of age, wife, your bloke, you're 27, you've just got married, you've pinged yourself a $750,000 home. I don't know how you can afford it anyway, and you've got it going. You've got to really consider what the landscape in your financial life is going to be like up to 30 years, Luke. That's a long time to predict.
Yeah, look, a lot of people spend the vast majority of their working life paying off a mortgage.
Yeah.
That's the reality, especially with property prices where they are at the moment. I really feel for young people. I really do. That really makes me feel quite old, but, you know.
But it's true.
It is. It is. You know, you look at the way property prices, and we live in a very, you could almost call it a micro economy.
Yeah.
Because in Canberra, we're splitting hairs over 10 minutes for $1 million.
Yeah.
In Sydney, if you've got to travel 3 hours a day to save and spend an extra million, that's value.
Yeah.
If I'm living on the outskirts of Sydney and the difference is $1 million out there or $2 million in the city, that's value.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Splitting hairs here over 10 minutes is
nothing.
Just dumb.
Nothing.
It really is.
So how do you go to the loan if you've got a $750,000 mortgage? How do you know to split it into a variable and fixed?
Well, I think, again, this is where you get advice, because understanding the cash flow implications of your commitment is very important.
Right.
So when you sit down with a broker or a planner or a combination of the two, you need to think about, well, what have I bought? Because your attitude towards your primary home is going to be different to your attitude towards an investment property.
Yeah.
So then we're thinking about, okay, if I've bought my primary home and I know that I have a commitment for an extended period of time and I know myself and my partner are an X, okay, what does it cost for us to live? And we've talked in other shows about having clarity around what you take to the bank in relation to where your money goes, yeah, what you spend it on, and what your true budget is, because the way they look at things is very, very different now compared to, you know, 1 or 2 years ago. So having a good understanding of your budget is essential. Then I guess understanding what you need. So if you've bought your family home and you say, well, what can we spend? And everybody's savings capacity is different. So if you know that yourself and your partner can save X amount of money and you're going to pour it into an offset account and build up the equity in your property, then a variable loan is a good way to go because it gives you some flexibility.
Mm.
The offset account, again, is always good because you then have access to that money. So if there is an out-of-the-blue medical expense, then you can access some of that money for...
And it's going to happen, Luke.
Yeah, look, it's life. You know, I had a lady in today, you know, she's got to have an operation on a spine on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And she only found out last week. You know, so there's an example of, you know, an unforeseen medical expense that's really serious that could end up being quite expensive.
Yeah.
Having access and having the right structured home loan is really, really important.
But how do you know you're going to have a child? You're going to have hospital expenses?
Exactly.
Something's going to happen. You might lose your job.
Yep. So, again, thinking about, well, the amount of money that you borrow should be commensurate to your ability to repay it in a range of situations. Too many times we see people come in and go, I've borrowed X amount of money and we both work. Oh, but my wife's pregnant and we've got one little one. So you know school fees are coming.
Mm.
You know there may be a period of time where she doesn't have any income. So thinking about what could happen. So budget conservatively, borrow conservatively, save aggressively, okay? But then also protect it.
Income insurance, you've mentioned income.
I think it's a must.
Mm.
You know, if you've got a debt out there and you've got a 30-year loan with NAB, for example, just pick one, and you've got 2 weeks sick leave, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
Now, income protection is tax deductible. So if I give most people a choice and say, look, we can protect your income, that means you can keep your house, would you like to do that? And they go, that'd be great. And we can get you a tax deduction and we'll do some work with your accountant. You're either going to pay tax or pay an income protection premium.
Yeah.
Either way, it's going. But at least this way, you've secured your biggest asset in a lot of scenarios, which is your family home.
Yeah, I liked when you said, you know, borrow conservatively, but save aggressively.
That's a
good rule, isn't it?
And be diligent.
Yeah. Okay, you've got your loan, fixed versus variable.
Yep.
What should be your major consideration if you've just got your loan and you've just got married or you've just, you know, in a relationship? Where do you go with that? And you say 5 years for fixed and then think again?
Well, again, it depends on the rate.
Okay.
So this is where getting advice is good, because fixed rates will go before variable rates. And when I say go, I mean they'll go up. Because fixed rates will look into the future. So by working with a good broker, you can actually get an understanding of, well, what's the 3-year rate? What's the 5-year rate? There may be a significant difference. So you need to be able to get the sharpest rate you can and control a time frame that you're comfortable with.
Mm.
Now, as I say, there's no right or wrong, because as we've seen over the last 15 or 20 years, rates will go up and down. You never really know what's going to happen at any one point in time.
We did, it was 17% for Christ's
sake.
You know.
So you need to be comfortable with the decision that you've made for your budget. And I also say to people, look, if you're going to think about these things and you do have a variable loan, think about your repayments and your ability to service that at 1 or 2% higher. So there are some really sharp rates at the moment. Home loan rates in general terms should have a 3 in front of them. That's almost a given at the moment, I'm told by the people that I'm dealing with, because there are some really sharp rates. You should also then think about looking at your interest rate on an interest-only loan, because they've gone up significantly over the last 12 months. And I only saw a situation yesterday where we took the debt, we took the existing structures, we gave it to a mortgage broker, and there was a $13,500 reduction in his ongoing payments.
Is that all?
That's all. Yeah. So you think about the benefit of that, not only are you paying off more of your house, but what if you use that money for a super deduction? So then you've got ancillary strategies that you can then use these benefits from.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, there's a little bit more money in the offset account, and if that works in a family holiday and you reward yourself for 6 to 12 months of good budgeting, well, then go for it.
And cut up your credit card.
Well, use your credit card correctly.
Yeah.
I think that's they're not as bad as people think. Used correctly.
That's it. Keep your eye on the ball. Correct. Get advice, and you can do that with financial planners Envision Financial. They're in Townsend Street, 44 to 52. They're upstairs at Suite 2, 6260 4749. And you just mentioned this as the acronym of the week: interest only.
Interest only.
What's
yeah.
that? What is
so
that?
An interest only loan is where the repayment is only calculated on the interest component. So you're not paying down the principal. Now again, used correctly, no problems. But check your rates. If you're out there and you can't rattle off the top of your head what your interest rate is on your home loan, dig it out, ring your lender, check it. If you're unsure or you want us to compare it, you want us to try and put you in touch with somebody that could save you thousands of dollars a year, that could potentially fund a holiday, a car or school fees, whatever else you want to use it for, just give us a ring. It doesn't cost anything. And we'll put you in touch with a lender that can give you all of the advice and maybe open your eyes up to some things that you didn't know about.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, as we say, you don't know what you don't know.
Yep, Luke Smith and his good team at Envision Financial. And as he said, save aggressively and borrow conservatively.
Exactly.
It's a good law of thumb. Enjoy your week. Thank you,
Luke.
And you can contact them 6260 4749.